so wonderful to be able to gather together and study the Word of God. And as I had made mention at the beginning of services, that the songs are themed out to present a lesson, and so therefore we're going to be talking about the titles of these songs and bring out how we should be going forth, of course, spreading the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, just want to go ahead and read this real quick. Ephesians 5 and verse 19, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, again, we could read a similar to it in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, where it tells us with grace in the heart. And so, we sing it as a gift to God, and we sing to teach and admonish one another. And so, therefore, we need to be making sure that we are listening to the songs that we are singing, even when saying some incorrectly, we still got the words, right? And so, we got the words there that we need to be listening to, and thinking about as we're singing these songs to make sure that we agree, one, that they line up with the scriptures, but also so that we sing out. Sometimes we say, well, I'm not going to sing out because I don't think I sing good. It's not about just singing good. It's about teaching and admonishing one another. It's about praising our God and giving your best to Him. And so we are going to use a few of these songs that we've been singing this morning, and plugging it into a lesson. So the first song to talk about is that these are songs that speak into the point of winning souls or to help spread the Word of God. And so the first song, Into Our Hands, number 616, as we had sung it, 616, Into Our Hands. The gospel has been given to us. Sometimes I don't think we sit back and think how thankful we should be to be able to have the Word of God. Again, as we go back to that first century Christians, the first century church that had started, they did not have the New Testament at that time themselves. We think about it as Jesus went forth and was preaching the Word and speaking in parables and teaching the apostles. They did not have the New Testament written out for them. How confused, how many times when we study the chronological life of Christ, and we study when He taught these things, and Jesus would say, do you not understand? Have you not read? Because they were to be studying the Old Testament, studying the law of Moses. But even to that, they were confused with the parables. They would have to ask Jesus to go further explanation for them. But if they had the Word of God as we do today, and we're so thankful that God inspired these men to write them for us, you know, they wouldn't have been so caught up in confusion because they'd been able to look into it, look at the whole picture, see how things played out, but they were still waiting for it all to play out. They did not understand that Jesus was ascending up into heaven. They didn't understand that in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them and allow them to enter into the new covenant that the Lord had established. And so we are so blessed to have the Word of God. We read the scripture that was on top of that verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. We only had part of the verse. 1 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 4 says, knowing, beloved brethren, we get to chapter 2 and verse 4 says, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Here that we were blessed that those who were going forth and preaching the Word of God. Of course, what we're thinking of as we read this, and as they're stating, as Paul states it, he writes it as he truly is, inspired by the Holy Spirit, being guided by God Himself on what to write down, on what to speak, on what to say, and how to approach certain issues. And so he is entrusted with the gospel. He's entrusted with the Word of God. But they wrote these things down so that you and I could have it also.
And now, as he goes forth and he writes to the church in Thessalonica, and he writes to the churches in Galatia, and he writes to the churches in Corinth, he writes to the Timothy and Titus and Philemon, as he writes to the men and he writes to the brethren, he's inspired. He has an obligation to go forth and tell the truth, to guide them in the right direction. We have that same obligation because we also have it. We have the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. It is the entire Word of God. It has everything we need in it. James chapter 1, verse 25 calls it the perfect law of liberty. Nothing needs to be changed in it. Another verse that we can look at that helps explain that these men were moved by the Holy Spirit is in 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, it says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as light that shines in darkened place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We have been given the Word of God. How thankful we must be to be able to hold words of God in our hands, to be able to read it, to be able to understand it, to be able to study it, to be able to show to our children and teach it to them, to teach it to others. We have been blessed with a great gift by having the Word of God. The question is, what do we do with it? What do we do with the gospel that God has given you? Do we neglect it? Do you obey it? Once you have received the Word of God and you acknowledge what you need to do, if you have not obeyed it, then why not? You admit that you believe that it is the Word of God, that it truly is the breath of our Lord? If so, we must obey. We must use it. We must use it to show to others. Again, this is the Word of God. The greatest thing that we have. Yes, are you showing it to others? Are you trying to start conversations about it? Or are you trying to point anyone in this direction? When you think about the words of this song, of just the title, you never mention him to me. Never mention him. Again, we don't have a direct exact idea exactly how judgment's going to be, but if we are in a line and the person that's in front of you, you know who they are. They're your neighbor. They're your coworker. They're the person that you went to school with. And they turn around and they said these words to you. Means you went to church. You never said anything about this. You never mentioned Jesus. You never mentioned the Word of God, the Bible, to me. That's a scary thought. It's a scary thought. We have to be willing to use the words which God has blessed us with. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, it says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Take heed to yourself, to the Word of God, to the doctrine, to His teachings. Continue continue in them. That means continue to study them, continue to keep the commands which he has given you, to follow, continue to follow in his footsteps. Why? Why must we do this? Why must we continue to know it and continue to understand it, to continue to grow in it? Because in doing so, you will save your soul. All right, let's start there. Understanding how important it is. Because it's all about you getting to heaven and you escaping the wrath of God. But not only you, but to all who hear you, to all who see your actions, to all who are looking to you as an example. As someone who they know who goes to church, goes to worship every Sunday, who goes to worship every Wednesday. They see you get out and drive by their house every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning, Sunday night, they see you leaving. So therefore, they might have that just conclusion. Well, they're a Christian. They may not know that you go here to Westside Church of Christ. But then they come to the conclusion that you're a Christian. Then they see your actions. They see that you don't invite anyone to worship. Or they see filth, they hear filthy language coming out of your mouth, and they see your actions, they see the way you dress. Think about it. We have the Word of God, the good news. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and verses 18 through 23, here is the parable of the sower. But the thing is we read through it. And I know this is the part that sometimes we hear it. And I think I've heard it probably every congregation. When it comes to going out and we have a gospel meeting, that's usually the time we try to choose whether or not to go and pass out flyers, to do some door knocking, to hang up some doors, maybe put them on some cars, whether we want to print off things, how much we want to put on Facebook. And some people, you know, we've had one person come in the past 10 years. We've had two. Read the Word of God. It tells us that's how it's going to be. It tells us that there's, you know, so many different, three different other grounds besides the good ground? Three? There's only one good ground. But guess what? If you don't plant the seed, it's never going to grow. It's not going to happen. Some hear the Word and just completely have nothing to do. Some hear the Word and they're excited. They hear the good news, but the cares of the world choke it out. Some get thrown out and say, snaps up. Some hear the Word of God and they study it. They ask questions. They grow. They understand. And they end up obeying the gospel. They spread the good news to others. And you got another person out there showing us. But if we don't plant the seed, we don't spread the word, we don't invite our family and our friends and our neighbors and our enemies, we don't shine our light into the world, the light's not being shown, then they continue in darkness because they think darkness is okay. They're just getting used to that darkness. The world is doing everything else in darkness. And so therefore, it looks like it's okay to continue in this path. They didn't even know that there was a smaller, more difficult pathway to be on. It went so far off course. Therefore, they need someone to shine that light. Help them to be guided in the right direction. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romans chapter 10, and in verse 14, here it says, how then shall they call on him? And the reason it's asking that is because you go to verses 8 and 9 and read all the way through verse 13. It's telling us how we are going to be saved through our confession. Through the words of your mouth, you will be saved by acknowledging our Lord and by teaching. But in verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed?
And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And again, you jump down to verse 17. There it tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Word of hearing. How are they going to believe if they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? He's not saying that you have to be a full-time preacher, the person that gets up here and preaches in the pulpit every Sunday. You have to be willing to spread the good news. You have to be willing to shine your light. You have to be prepared and ready to give a defense and answer for your faith. How many on the day of judgment think it's safe? Never mentioned it. I can think of high school friends that have already passed away, friends that passed away when I was in high school. I sit back and just question whether or not I ever extended that opportunity to invite them to come to Bible class, to come to worship service. I'd say most of my friends in high school knew I went to church. Especially those who played sports with me. I missed services, I missed game, missed Bible, missed practice or something, or leave early in order to get to worship. How many did I say, hey, come join me? Hey, if you got any questions on why I do this, I'd be more than happy to try to sit down and talk about it, or I know somebody who'd be willing to do that with you. Will you not tell it today? And when we go through that psalm, it goes forward and asks those questions. If you understand and it gives you hope and you can think of all the great things that you have gained since obeying the Word of God, if you study the Word of God and you see all the great things that have taken place for those who have obeyed the Word of God, you think how David was able to defeat a giant as a young boy, how he was able to escape the king and his army as he tried to kill him before David became king. As you can think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into the fire and not being hurt at all, but yet even those who were trying to push him through the fire died by the heat. Those who were blessed because they had faith in God. Who would not go spread that good news? Mark chapter 5 and verse 19. Mark chapter 5 and verse 19 says, however, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home. Person he had just healed, and then throughout the game, he said, let me go with you. He did not allow it. He said, go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord had done for you and how he has compassion on you. You know somebody who's struggling, who's wanting to change, to get out of sin, to get out of the lifestyle they're living. Would you not go and tell them, look, I know how to do it. You know why? It's through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not necessarily going to be easy just because you give yourself over it, but it will be easier because you'll be there. I ask you, if you had the cure to this virus, the COVID-19, did you keep it to yourself? You have a cure for cancer, would you keep it to yourself? You had the good news. If you heard, not you just had it, but you heard and you know who does have it, would you keep it to yourself? Then you would blow up the social media. If you got Facebook, it's going to be on that. If you got YouTube, you might do a video. If it, you might post Twitter. You might do an Instagram photo. You might do everything to let it be known so that people can get out of the fears. People can get healthy and people can overcome. We have the Word of God, which allows people to get to heaven, cures us from sin, it washes your sin away. Why not share that? Tell it to all. Mark 16 and verse 15, to go into all the world and preach the good news, preach the gospel to all nations. Spread the Word of God. You'll want to go forth. Remembering our actions as we continue to live from day to day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3,
Before you turn to 2 Corinthians 3, fingers marked there if you're already there, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, because both of these letters are to the church of Corinth. As Paul writes to the churches in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, he says, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. It says none of these will inherit if they continue in this path. And in verse 11, it says, and such were some of you. He speaks to them and says, these people won't do it, and this is what you was doing. You were washed, that you were sanctified, that you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Here he comes out. He says, this is the people that you used to be. You used to live in sin, thrive in it. But you've been washed. And then you read the second letter here, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some other epistle of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. They went from living a life in sin to being epistles of Christ himself. So living for Christ. In Romans 6 and verses 11 through 14, again, here, do not be instruments of unrighteousness, but be instruments of righteousness. We become tools for God. Living pillars of Christ. Don't forget, we are the body of Christ. We are the church. We are the Lord's church. Not this building. This building does not save anybody. We are. So therefore, as people look at us, we are the world's Bible, because they look and see the way you act. Again, referring back to Matthew as we talk about the light being the salt of the earth. Let your light so shine that they may see your works and glorify God. They see the things that you do. They'll wonder why. They'll ask and they'll wonder, why don't you ever cuss? Why don't you ever dress in modest? Why do you always leave to make sure you get to services on time to Bible class? People notice when you choose to put God first in your lives. Matthew 12 and 30, I believe that's the verse that actually went with this song or with the next song. But it says, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you do not gather, you scatter with the wrong. Again, this is not always just about going forth and speaking with him now, but the example that we set from day to day as we have the Word of God. So I believe the song of encouragement is this: who will follow Jesus? 347. Sing that after you're done with this point right here. Because we're extending the invitation. Asking who is willing to stand up for the Lord. Who's willing to shine their light into this world? Who's willing to take that step? Simple. If you're even all the way in the back, it's going to take less than a minute to walk all the way up here to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In a short while after, we'll get you back here and we will baptize you into the Lord and Savior. Allowing his blood to wash your sins away. We look at a couple examples here in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. As the Lord is speaking, whom will I send? The world needs saved. The world needs a light. People here in Owensboro, Davies County, surrounding counties, need somebody
needs many to help spread the word of God. Will you be like Isaiah and say, here I am, send me. Here I am, I'm ready to work. Again, David's an awesome example. You have the whole army of Israel standing back, too afraid to go fight. The king himself will not stand up. Somebody has to. Somebody has to be willing to set the example. You sit back and think about it. Do your example of obeying the gospel. If you do that, this thing. Again, as we said earlier, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. For in doing so, you will save yourself. You heed the word of God today and you obey and be baptized, wash away your sins. You will wash your sins. He will wash your sins away. He will add you to the church. You have done what you needed to do in order to be saved. But not only that, but you have set the example for anyone else here that is not obeying the gospel. You have reminded everyone else who has obeyed the gospel of the commitment, of the covenant, of the promise that we have made to our gods. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to make the sacrifice to put your pride behind you? To humble yourself in the sight of God and say, I'm sorry. I have sinned. I need your forgiveness. Knowing that it'll wash your sins away. But also may encourage someone else to do the same thing. We extend that invitation today to many who need to obey the gospel. We extend the opportunity to many who desire to have a prayers of congregation who need that. Will you follow Jesus? If you need the prayers of congregation, if you desire to be baptized, let him.
Who will follow Jesus? Stand